I'm all professional in my raggedy ass droopy t-shirt and blanket.
I love it. That's like the first thing on our podcast is you talking about your raggedy ass t-shirt.
Yeah.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Side Quest, the pre-Thanksgiving American version of the Side Quest. I am the one, the only Dolly Domofsky. Joining me is Twitch affiliate Elena Scratty Bones Kelly.
Hey, hi, what's up? Hey, guess what I did this week?
Hey, what'd you do this week?
I bought bacon for the first time ever, and I don't know how to cook bacon, so it's just sitting in my fridge.
Wait, you bought bacon for the first time ever, but you don't know how to cook bacon?
Yeah, like, I've had bacon. Like, I grew up having bacon, but, like, since I've been living on my own ever, I've never bought bacon. It's just, like, it's just never been a thing I bought, because usually I'm not awake in the morning, so it's, like, sure. I don't think about breakfast food. And I was just at the store yesterday, and I was like, oh, shit, that's bacon. Oh, I guess I'll buy that. And I got home, and I was just like, well, why the fuck did I buy that? I assume you just throw it in a pan for a bit, but...
You kind of can. Basically, you throw it... Let's see, bacon talk this week. You don't even need fucking anything. You don't need to oil or grease up anything. You can just throw it in a pan and let it kind of cook in there. And it'll once it starts sizzling, it starts to drain those juices. I mean, that's really it. You'll kind of know when it's done because it starts to shrivel up
as bacon.
Starts to look like bacon, and then it's pretty much it. You don't want to overcook it. I'll give you that hint. You don't want to overcook it because it'll... like shrink and become really dry. You still want some of the juices in there, but
crispy bacon.
Yeah, it's crispy bacon.
So do you like I know when you cook things that are like heavy and fat like that, you're supposed to like not pour the fat down the drain or whatever. You're supposed to like, you know, container it and throw it out or whatever, which is fine. Like that's easy enough. But I guess my question is, do you then, instead of doing that, do you just break a couple of eggs into that pan and like cook them in the fat?
I've done that quite often. I've thrown eggs in there afterwards. I've thrown a bunch of stuff in there, actually. It's I will say it is kind of worth it to do that because, yeah, you're saving you're saving your pipes from being clogged, but also at the same time, you're still got a little bit of that bacon juice still in there. Yeah. Bacon juice is good.
Bacon juice. Have I ever told you my recipe for eggs?
No. Is this just bacon juice?
No, I've never done the bacon thing before, so I'm curious to see how it turns out. Now, here's my recipe for eggs. Eggs in the pan.
Okay.
Cooked scrambled eggs, you know, standard. And then when they're done, absolutely destroy them with cayenne extract.
Oh, shit. You like them hot. You like them spicy. Oh, yeah.
Spicy scrambies.
Spicy scrambies. That's good. I like – I haven't done that with cayenne, but I'm going to give that a shot because that does sound kind of yummy to me.
I want to get the next one, like the next step up in terms of hot sauce. I want to get like some of those crazy ones and see how they work with scrambled eggs.
I've done ghost pepper sauce before. Actually, I haven't done ghost pepper. I've done scorpion pepper, which for a while was hotter than ghost pepper, because they have like the world rankings of peppers and stuff. I mean, things like cayenne pepper are relatively mild compared to like actual peppers, which are like dangerous to eat. But they're you only need a dab. I remember trying one of those, and it gets to you. I will say this: I've grown ghost peppers and scorpion peppers in the backyard, and they will fuck up the rest of your peppers. If you had sweet peppers, you ain't got sweet peppers anymore. They all have a little bit of a. In fact, it's actually kind of nice to do that. A little more kick, but yeah, that's good. I like your recipe. My egg recipe is sorry, as I'm drooling. I'm drinking right now.
Well, that's a good idea.
Drinking and drooling. That's what we should call our podcast, drinking and drooling. I have some Tennessee honey Jack Daniels. No, I throw a little bit of feta in there. Scrambled egg and throw some feta in there, mix it in, it tastes good.
The first time I made scrambled eggs, it's food talk now. It's Thanksgiving coming up, so
yeah,
food
talk. American Thanksgiving. It's Black Friday, actually. Black Friday is universal for all of us, so at least there's
it is true.
You could just say it's Black Friday coming up.
The first time I ever made scrambled eggs, I followed like one of those recipes, like, you know, Gordon Ramsay or whatever, where they make like the really fluffy eggs that go on the plate with like the shit sprinkled over them, and I hated it. It turned out exactly the way it should have, and I was just like, this sucks. No, I just like throw them eggs in a pan, like on medium high heat, and just fucking stir them until they're just a mess of scrambled eggs. Quick and dirty, takes 5 minutes.
I'm gonna start this off with a No, I'm not. Never mind. That's good. I'll save that tweet for later. We should start off with like a gaming tweet every week, like a really shitty take, but I'll hold off. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but hey, Aaron.
Hey.
How's it going?
You want to just start this over? You want to get rid of all that screw talk?
Just delete everything. Delete the past. No, we'll keep going. This will be a shorter one because everybody that said they were going to be on it is guess what? They're not on it.
Hey, where's Tom?
Where's fucking... Do you remember Tom?
Vaguely. He's
streaming.
I remember a Brotherhood of Steel helmet.
Oh, maybe. Shit.
Or was the Doom guy helmet?
He had both, I think.
Yeah.
He's out streaming Project X Cloud on his Google phone.
He's actually not at home. He's still somewhere, right?
No, he's back, I think. I'm pretty sure he's back.
Oh. Yeah. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom. Nice to see you again, Tom. But there's stuff we can talk about, stuff, because it is that time of year where people actually have time to do shit. I am off these next couple weeks, and of course, I have not played any video games, so let's stop making a video game podcast. No, just kidding. I'll go into what I've been playing. First of all, let me ask you what you've been playing.
And I haven't played nothing.
There you go. We'll move on to what I've
been
playing.
I haven't played anything. I've been playing that idle game on my phone.
Oh, cool. Cool. Yeah, I got to get into that. I got to get that one. I downloaded it after you told me about it. I did download Minecraft Phone Talk. I downloaded Minecraft Earth, but I haven't tried it yet.
You and apparently everybody else in America.
Really?
Yeah, like 1.6 million people as of like the launch or something crazy like that. As of the launch in North America, the numbers skyrocketed up like over a million.
Wow, I did not know that. I downloaded the Papa John's app as well.
How's that? Talk to me about that.
Let me tell you guys about Papa John's. That guy is fucking crazy, Mr. John. I haven't tried it yet, but yeah, a couple folks are talking about it. I actually haven't heard a ton of buzz. It's not like Call of Duty Mobile buzz or Pokemon Go buzz, but I'll give it a shot this holiday weekend. I did get back into the Pokemans, and I've got to say, I'm really enjoying Pokemon. I've got, let me pull my buddy out right now. That was not meant to be sexual, but that's all right. I've got my Magikarp in my Pokeball. This is the Pokeball from Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee. And I dumped the Magikarp out of the Pokemon game, the newest Pokemon game, into this guy. So as I'm walking around and got this dude in my jacket or in my pocket or whatever, I can earn you can earn some shit for the Pokemon, which is kind of cool. Little items and stuff. But so I've been playing that pretty heavily, and
so I actually have a Pokemon question for you.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
So you know this whole Pokemon quote unquote controversy with these new games where all the Pokemon aren't whatever.
Yeah.
I thought that was fucking stupid. Like the people who were pissed off about it. Like I thought the whole idea okay, so they're not all in it. Who gives a shit? Is it true that they're offering a service that lets you? That lets you take your Pokemon from your old games for a subscription fee and store them on your phone, but you can't transfer them to the new game.
Yes.
So you're just paying them to not be able to use your Pokemon.
So here's the way it is. All right, you can take all those old Pokemon, even as far back as maybe the Game Boy Advance games too. I think also work. But you can store them into this cloud service and dump them back into the other games, so you can kind of it's constantly moving forward, I guess, you know, so you can play like all those old Pokemon that you've caught in almost instantly in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon.
Yeah, you know, your friends, your buddies.
The last 3DS game, and they announced that service, and then the next day or the next week announced this game, Pokemon Sword and Shield, and said, oh, by the way, that service won't really work for Pokemon Sword and Shield, at least not for that first month or two. I don't think you can get into it right now, even if it's on there. And when it does work, you'll only be able to bring in the Pokemon that you have that are native to the Galar region. So the ones that are in this game already, the however many 400 Pokemon there are, or 300.
I think it's 410,
something,
I think.
Something like that, yeah. You can only bring those in, so you can't bring in all 800 or 1,000 Pokemon, whatever there are. Just those that are already in this game. So that sucks for a lot of people who wanted their, you know, who've been kind of holding on to their favorite Pokemon, but over the last like 20 years.
I think the part that sucks the most is the fact that this, it's a subscription service.
Yes.
So if you did this, they're just stuck on your phone, and you have to pay Nintendo a monthly fee to, I guess, not have them deleted on you.
But essentially, yes. So they've got you quite literally by the Pokeballs, because
boo.
That was just horrible pun.
No, that, you know what? I like that one.
Okay, you can have that one go through. All right, good. Because yeah, you can't act. They're literally just sitting there. And by the way, they've announced that they're sunsetting the Pokemon Live Trainer service, whatever that was on the 3DS games. Said, hey, by the way, you've got until like January or February to play all those live things, which is essentially like, I think battles were on there, or some type of battles, some type of trading. Not like the full online experience, but some of the stuff that people really liked that sort of augmented those online modes. That's all disappearing. They're shutting that shit down. So it's kind of a really fucked up situation right now if you've been, you know, collecting Pokemon over the years. I mean, you're going to be paying, and it's not, I don't think it's an expensive cost, but you shouldn't have
to pay. I think it's $7.99.
Yeah, is that, it might be that for like the whole year though, right? I think it's like that for like, it's not expensive. It's not like a, yeah, go ahead and check that.
I'm going to check.
We're figuring this shit out live. I mean, I have full belief that those Pokemon will eventually show up, that there will be a Pokemon game in the future.
$4.99 a year.
$4.99 a year? $5 a year? Okay.
For the Pokemon Bank, yeah.
Okay. I thought there was another service.
There's Pokemon Home, but it's not out yet.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, either, whatever this is. I think I had, like, Pokemon Bank at one point for a year. I paid $5 for nothing. But and I've lost all those Pokemon, by the way.
I wanted to find out about that because on the one hand, I think people being upset that all the Pokemon aren't in the new game is kind of dumb.
Yeah.
On the other hand, that's a little fucked up.
It is.
They're charging money to not essentially kill your Pokemon.
Yeah, they're Pokemon genocide. I wish, like, here's the best thing that could happen, right? That they'll release some type of game or some type of app or something that this $5.99 or this $5 a year, whatever it is, that even when you're not playing with those Pokemon in a game, that you can still do something with them on your modern device, like whether it's a phone or on the Switch or something. Maybe there's like, I don't know, maybe you could throw them into Pokemon Go or Pokemon Let's Go. I don't know, something. So at least it's worth it. But they're literally holding many of those Pokemon hostage, and that's kind of the shit thing. Yeah, I agree. I don't. It's a bummer that not all those Pokemon in there, but it doesn't hurt me. Only because I usually just kind of start every Pokemon game fresh, and I don't really carry my shit over. And I don't know what percentage I fall into with that kind of thing, but I don't know. It is kind of dumb that they're not all there natively. I wish that there was something to do with all those Pokemon. Like I said, I have full faith that
they're making me empathize with the assholes, and
I agree. I agree. I have full faith that there'll be a Pokemon game in the future that has fucking everything in it. But they're rebuilding a lot of the shit, and to rebuild 1,000 Pokemon isn't. Sorry, guys, it's not just dragging the 3DS data and dropping it onto the Switch, as everyone.
Although you say that, apparently somebody's modding the game.
Oh, they're doing just that, right?
Yeah, they're doing pretty much that. They're importing the models from Pokemon Go. Into the game, and apparently, Sword and Shield have the actual slots for all the Pokemon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they're importing the models from Pokemon Go into those slots, and then I guess that means the Pokemon are in the game in the modded.
I wonder if like there'll be DLC down the line that opens all that shit up. You know, like
that would be the way to do it, right?
That would be the way to do it. I mean, to be honest, I kind of think that they sort of rushed this. this game out in a way. And what I mean by that is, okay, we're getting off on a tangent, but this is much more interesting than me just saying Pokemon's fun. Let's go on to the next subject. I think that this game started off as sort of the third game of, like, Pokemon Sun and Moon. Like, they've been doing the third game on and off for a lot of these games. They didn't do, I think, Pokemon X and Y. They were rumored to be making Pokemon Z, but then that ended up turning into something a little bit more substantial, and they made Sun and Moon.
Black and White was in there somewhere, right?
Black and White was before X and Y, yeah. Black and White. And I think there was Black and White and Black and White 2. So Pokemon Sun and Moon beget Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, and the rumor was that they were going to make Pokemon Stars, which was that third game, because they showed, I think in one of the developer videos, or one of the videos that when Nintendo was kind of talking about the Switch, they said, yeah, and by the way, we're making a brand new Pokemon game for the Switch, and it showed whoever one of the presidents or whatever of the Pokemon company or Game Freak kind of, with the computer on in the background, had essentially slightly HD visuals for Pokemon Sun and Moon, or, you know, of those games. And so my theory, my conspiracy theory, is that they started making a Pokemon Stars game and realized that the Pokemon Sun, no pun intended, the Sun had already kind of set on that era of Pokemon, and they needed to make something new. So at some point, they switched over and said, shit, let's make a new Pokemon game using kind of the stuff that we've already been putting together. Let's focus on the region and some of the features and ideas and create a few new Pokemon in there as well, and then see what else, you know, down the line, what we can sort of start to bring in. So I think this, I don't want to say rushed, but I think timing had a lot to do with it. Nintendo needed a game out this year. And they needed to focus on Pokemon this year, and they came out with Sword and Shield, which, for all accounts, if you're like me and you just play each Pokemon game as it comes out, kind of in its own little world, these are actually really good games. They're really enjoyable. They're fun.
Is there a Pokemon in Pokemon Shield that has a shield? Yes. In Pokemon Sword, you get Sirfetch'd, right? Who has essentially a sword?
Well, but it's the legendaries.
Oh.
So, but yeah, Sirfetch'd has the onion sword or whatever that fucking thing is, but
I think it's Leek.
A Leek, yeah, it's the same fucking thing. Aren't they the same? I don't know. so yeah, that's my conspiracy theory, is that this started off as a third game in this Moon and Stars or Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, whatever. It ended up morphing into its own game, and they needed to get it out onto the store shelves because Nintendo needed a big game this year, and so the last year or so, they've been pushing this.
What do you think the conversations were like when they were like, we can't use colors anymore. We've used all the colors. Yeah. We have to do something else. And then somebody said, let's do X and Y. And then it's like, all right, let's do those. Fuck, we started at the end of the alphabet. Now what are we going to do?
then they said, well, shit, let's combine like the Greek alphabet with colors. So like Omega Ruby and Alpha or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird. Now they're just gonna fucking start doing. Let's do Pokemon, Joy-Con and Pokemon Mouse.
Pokemon Genesis and Revelations.
Pokemon Genesis and Revelations. Fuck yeah, that'd be awesome.
Like one of them you get. One of them you get Adam and Eve, and the other one you get the Four Horsemen.
You want to get Adam and Eve? I would. Okay, I'm in for this fucking Pokemon game. The biblical region.
Hire me, Game Freak.
Yeah, so I think the next Pokemon game will have a lot more shit, if they're not already working on doing some type of additions to this game. But I think next year we'll get the Detective Pikachu game, more than likely, right? Because they said they're working on an updated version of Detective Pikachu. That'll be next year's Pokemon game, and then we'll probably get either another Let's Go Eevee or Let's Go Pikachu or something, or... I would not be surprised if in 2 years we get a highly updated Sword and Shield version that has all the Pokemon in it. So you could have like Ultra Sword and, you know, Sharp Sword and Flat Shield or something. I don't know.
Oh, excuse me. When did Eevee become one of the mascots of Pokemon?
Pokemon Go.
Was that it?
It really was Pokemon Go, because they, I think people got used to, like, all the, like, their first real crazy evolutions were with Pokemon Go. And what I mean by that is, like, that was the first time you had the, at least the overall public realize that, oh, there's some, it, like, so Eevee transforms, evolved into, like, three different forms, right? Flareon and,
Vaporeon and Jolteon.
Exactly. And you didn't know which one you're going to get. It really was like a loot box for her Pokemon on Pokemon Go. And the Pokemon loot box. And so that was everyone's kind of first taste of it.
Mm.
And people really, really dug it. Because, I mean, you could hack your way into naming those Pokemon if you knew just kind of how to name them and get the right ones. People loved it. And Eevee became sort of the mascot of Pokemon Go because of that reason. You know, people wanted to get all the evolutions of Eevee, and became a fan favorite. And
they're like 12 now, right? Like, there's a bunch. There's a
fucking ton of them, yeah. So I think that's why it was, why it became so popular. One of the mascots. But, yeah, anyways, back to Pokemon. I've been on some raids, and those are kind of fun. It's just kind of a bunch of people playing, all turn-based, taking on, it kind of feel like bosses initially. In a weird way, like mini bosses type of thing, where everyone's just like four people get together and take on a boss. It's kind of fun. But yeah, there's a lot of shit in Pokemon Sword and Shield. Like, I don't remember this much shit that was in. I think I didn't play Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. I played Sun and Moon. I didn't realize there was that much shit in this game, but holy cow, there's a lot of shit in this game. I'm in. See, I'm probably like 10, 12 hours into the game right now, and. I've gone on a few quests where I had to, you know, fuck with my rival and try to beat him to get the most amount of Pokemon.
Your rival slash best friend who chooses the weaker Pokemon now?
Exactly. I had to kind of collect more Pokemon than him at one point, and I kind of forgot to do it, and he chastised me a little bit for not following his rules, but yeah, I'm digging it a lot. I'm digging it. This one seems to have, I don't remember what I said last week, but this one seems to have much more of a plot than previous Pokemon games, if that makes sense. Like, there are more, like, story goals. In the past, it was just like, hey, go to this town and become the gym leader, or beat the gym leader. Go to the next town. Here's where it's located. Go beat the gym leader there. This has much more of a, slightly more of a plot. I mean, there's still kids' games, but.
Like, is there actually, like, shit happening?
Yeah, they're actually, like, when the, like, the overall bad guys start to show up. You know, Team Rocket was always just this, these folks that you'd bump into and kind of have battles with every once in a while. In this game, there's a little bit, they're definitely a little bit more involved. You know, if you bump into them, they're tied to something that you have to do or accomplish before you can get into any major battles. So,
have you,
the soccer hooligans.
Yeah, the soccer hooligans. Have you gotten in on the loot cave or the loot caves yet?
What do you
know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, but I'm kind of. I haven't done anything to like actually leave loot for other people, if that's what you're asking, or doing any of that kind of shit. So not really. I've just been doing raids. I'm walking around the wild area doing raids, making curry, going fishing. And in fact, I think I may have lost a lot of time going fishing and going on raids. I tend to get
You can eat the Pokemon now, can't you?
Certain ones. I have the. Was it that the whipped cream Pokemon, the ice cream Pokemon?
Al Creamy?
Something like that. Yeah, that's my jam right there. Literally, I like that one.
Hey, how do you feel about this? I'm just gonna throw this out here. A little piece of news. Totally relevant to this discussion. Papa John's ex-CEO says in viral interview that he ate more than 40 pizzas in 30 days and that the quality has been destroyed, adding that, quote, the day of reckoning will come.
That's what I was talking about. Fucking, I saw that video earlier today. That dude, I ate 40 pizzas in 30 days. The day of reckoning is coming. I'm thinking, do we have to, like, brace ourselves? Is he going to go on a pizza rampage, like tossing slices everywhere? Dude's crazy, man. Yeah, eating Pokemon. Anyways, Pokemon, still good. I'm liking it. Definitely see myself sinking a shit ton of hours in this game. Most of it will be just walking around that wild area, doing raids for no reason whatsoever. But yeah, I'm hopeful that they So I think they've learned a lot from Pokemon Let's Go, and weird to say it because that game was really kind of a watered down version of Pokemon Yellow and Pokemon Brown for Eevee, I guess, Tan. They've learned a lot. They've learned in terms of, like, you can actually see Pokemon in the field now instead of their whole random battle shit. Like, in the past, it was, oh, there's a random battle coming up. You don't know what kind of Pokemon you're going to get. This time, you can actually see them. You could kind of prepare for them, run away from them if you want to. So that's always positive, and the visuals are, like I said last week, the visuals are pretty good. I'm real liking it.
Yeah.
I'm real liking it. Let's see anything else. I'll move on past that. Luigi's Mansion 3, still playing that, baby. That's a delight. Man, that game's so good.
I heard the game's real long.
It's a lot longer than I thought it was going to be. I'm through, I think, like, there are, like, 20, I think there's got to be, like, 20 floors or something, 15 to 20 floors, and I'm in, like, floor 8. It's not long, it's just there's a lot of levels. I guess maybe that's the best way to say it. It's not necessarily a long game. Although I did plug in, like, 4 hours yesterday, 4 or 5 hours yesterday. I binged and only got through, like, 3 or 4 floors. So it's not the Metroidvania of the original GameCube game. That original GameCube game, going back on it, that shit was so good. Because I just replayed it on the 3DS recently. There's definitely a Metroidvania thing where you go from every different room in the house and in the mansion, and you're kind of unlocking stuff, and you could take that to a different room and unlock something, and take that to another room once you earn different upgrades. This is basically all level-based. You can kind of complete the entire level while you're there. You have all the tools that you need. You never really have to go back to any of the levels to get anything. So if anything, I sort of miss that aspect of it, but overall, it's good. This is a good game. It's a fun game. And then the game that I really wanted to talk about, and I'll try to be as quick as possible with it because I've spent too much time talking Pokemon, is Black Future 88. Played that at PAX East, maybe a year, almost 2 years ago. We have a preview of it out there. It's this roguelike side-scrolling, you have 18 minutes to live type of game, and it fucking moves fast. Every time you die, you kind of get reborn, and you get upgrades and, you know, experience and that kind of shit as you play along. It's a fast game. I probably died like 7 or 8 times in my first, 10 minutes of playing. Totally fine with it because, like I said, things don't just get, they don't get easier. They just kind of get adjusted and a little bit improved for you as you go along. But fuck, that game is so good. Holy cow. I'm really liking this game. I guess I hadn't played it in forever. The only time I played it was at PAX East. That's so long ago. But man, it's a good game to sit back. And like I said, it moves fast. It's 2D. Kind of a retro-ish style.
Vaguely bullet hellish from the looks of this.
Vaguely bullet hell. And not just vaguely. I mean, there's some aspects which are like total bullet hell. The whole cyberpunk aesthetic is really nice. The Cybertruck aesthetic is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But your character's kind of small on screen. If there's any like actual gripes that I have is that the font, I was playing in handheld mode, which is, it's great in handheld. The font is kind of tiny and your character's a little bit difficult to kind of see, you know, from the background, but it looks great on a bigger screen. It is a quick game. One thing I really do appreciate is that it sort of auto aims for you, because if I had to fucking stop and aim, then I'd be losing the whole running man aspect of this game, which is a big part of it. I mean, you're meant to blaze through levels as fast as possible. Sometimes you'll have shitty weapons that only take away like a few hits here and there. Other times you'll have weapons to take away more, but you have to do everything really quickly, and you can't make it through to the boss. There's like this overall main boss, this overall main goal, and mini bosses along the way, and you have to kind of clear the room that you're in before you can go to the next room and work your way up. There's like a little shop, not shops, but there's people you can get upgrades from here and there, and they'll drop tips for you and that kind of stuff. You have to keep moving in this game, and that's why the whole bullet hell nature of it is really kind of cool, because you'll face off against a mini boss that has just waves and waves of bullets, and you will be fucked. You're going to get hit. There's just no way to get away from it. But hopefully you've sort of saved your HP between from the last couple sections you were in. But it's really, really good. It's really fun. It's totally the kind of game where you can sort of pick it up, play a couple rounds, die, and dying becomes kind of a whole part of that, the gameplay, the whole background of it. So, yeah, controls really very easily. Like I said, the auto aim stuff I think was perfect because I don't want to stop and try to adjust my aim to shoot something. Now I can just kind of run through the level and aim it. So, yeah, Black Future 88. It's good shit. Real good shit.
It looks real fucking cool.
It is real, really cool. It's on Switch right now, and I think PC. I think it's coming out on some other shit later on. But yeah. It just came out, I want to say last Thursday or Friday. We got a review code in for the Switch, so that's what I'm checking out now. I got to hand it to people. By people, I mean publishers and PR. They're very willing to give out to like outlets like ours. They want to push like the Switch as an indie machine. So all these games that we're getting, they're throwing, I don't say they're not throwing indie codes at us, but they're very open to getting a code for a Switch as opposed to the way the past was. In the past, you had to like, if you want to get a PS4 game or an Xbox One game, you had to like pry, you had to like beg and plead for it. Otherwise, you end up with the Steam code, which is fine for folks who have Steam, which have PCs. For those of us who do most of our gaming on consoles, it was always kind of a more difficult option. Now with the Switch, like that tends to be the first release for a lot of these indies. Black Feature 88. I think New Super Lucky's Tale, which the review will go up today, I think. a bunch of other stuff. I mean, they're really willing to get those codes out to established outlets, I should say, like ours. Because the games work great. I don't have any fucking issues with some of these indie games. They've been fantastic. And I think that the Switch is the perfect home for indie games. So it's good stuff. Anyways, yeah, Black Feature 88. Go forth. News. Suck news. Let's get some news.
So, I got a little bit of news. The 2019 Steam Autumn Sale is live.
Yeah, it's good to go.
I have exactly one bullet point attached to this, and all it says is consume. Consume.
Consume. Hey, there is one thing that I want to add to that, and I don't know if you have this in your news or not, but Wario64 tweeted this deal out earlier, and I jumped on it, and that was the... hi, Wario. That was the Steam controller. Was $5. On sale for $5, and with like like $7, shipping and handling was more than the controller. And Valve put the note out that said, yeah, actually, we're killing off that Steam controller. So,
yep.
No longer than be supported with new updates, so here, just take this. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
I sort of want one of those, but not enough.
I mean, it's probably more expensive for you to get it over there, but for like fucking $12.
I mean, the shipping, it'd probably be $5 American, so if they're selling it in Canada at all, I haven't checked, it'd probably be, that's like
$8.
$8 Canadian, and then shipping would probably be $30.
Yeah, exactly. So there'd be no use to get it. I'm going to get it only because I'm curious to see if it'll work with any games that I already have.
Yeah, totally. So that's a thing. And then the actual news that goes along with that is that somebody figured out that Steam is mass banning games. They're actually doing like a cleanup of their store. I don't have the link in my little notepad file. I could find it. I'll put it in the comments maybe. But essentially when I checked about 2 hours ago, cause that was when I woke up and started putting the news together, they had removed 2,900 games and apps from their store.
Holy shit.
And it's all like low effort asset flips and shit like that.
In that case, that's about fucking time.
Yep.
cause that's always been a big problem with storefronts like this. Steam is much more open than places like the App Store. The App Store, which arguably has even more junk than anything on the planet. At least there's some semblance of, well, it's got to be approved before Apple will post it up there. I mean, there you get all kinds of asset flipping all the fucking time on the App Store, which sucks because the folks that are approving these games obviously don't know what's already been out there. But on Steam, you kind of thought that it was a you know, kind of an open Wild West, but it looks like Valve's actually kind of doing their shit, doing it well to do.
Well, people have been asking for them to start doing this for years now.
I agree.
So it's nice to see at least some of it happening. Yay Steam.
Cool.
Yay Steam. One other piece of Steam news: the trailer for Half-Life Alyx passed 1 million views in the first 24 hours that it was available.
Wow. And it's been downvoted 999,999 times.
Pretty much.
By people who don't want a VR game.
Gabe Newell was out there saying that he's super happy that they're going back to Half-Life, being VR has re-energized the studio. And it's just like, oh, yes. Does that mean you're going to do Half-Life 3 after this?
Hopefully.
Probably not. Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. Probably. I'll say this: have you?
Been They'll do Half-Life Alyx 2, and then
there you go.
Just drop it.
Have you been following the negativity about Half-Life going VR?
Nah.
It's been like popping up on some social media and some stuff, but people are upset that Half-Life is
that good.
Make sure it's still. I don't know what the fuck that's happening. Is it still going? Hopefully, it's still going. Yeah, it's still going. Of a property. Like, if I think the next logical step for me to take Mario games, say, listen, Mario games, they need to be in VR because I think that's that to get the experience that I want, that's what the game, the direction needs to be. Sorry, I'm going to piss off a lot of folks that are Mario fans, you know, that they don't have the VR, but whatever. From that standpoint, I feel like, yeah, that's if this is what the creators of Half-Life want for Half-Life, then that's what they're going to get. That's what they're going to do. Also knowing that they're going to be missing out on a lot of money from people who are big Half-Life fans that can't play this in VR. And I will say this, I'm kind of one of those folks. I don't like FPS games in VR all that much anymore because they're my brain gets thrown off a bit. And I do get kind of nauseous, and I can't play for too long. Like I the sessions are really short, and for all intents and purposes, it's supposed to be as long as Half-Life 2, which is like 12 to 15 hours. just from the pure personal technical standpoint, yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it being in VR. But if this is what the folks want it to be, they're not necessarily doing it wrong for their vision. Maybe they might be doing it wrong, you know, monetarily or whatever, business-wise. But for their vision, it's like, I guess I have to kind of understand why they want to do it. But
it's like, you remember, it seems to me like people are looking at it like, do you remember when Final Fantasy XI came out?
Yes.
And people were like, it's an MMO and I have to pay a subscription and play and have internet to play it. And that's not cool. Mm-hmm. I've been playing Final Fantasy games since Final Fantasy 1.
I don't have broadband. I have to fucking use, I have to pay extra to play this game now.
And exactly. It seems like people are looking at it like that.
Yes.
But to me, this is the series specifically where Valve uses it to push new tech, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's like Half-Life, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. Lots of people love Half-Life and people love the story, but Half-Life has always been the games that Valve uses to try some weird shit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if they're coming out here saying like, oh yeah, we're doing this one in VR and we think we're going to do some cool shit with VR. It's like, well, that's what Half-Life does.
And it's not a mainline Half-Life game, right?
Right.
It's an offshoot. It's the pre-sequel version. It's the Portal, you know, version of Half-Life. And before too many people freak out, because this was not a major controversy or anything, but it was just kind of light out there on the webs. This is totally going to be in 2D. It's not going to be... They say VR now, but... Yeah, give it, like, you know... The next Xbox is going to be out. Scarlet will come out, and they'll say, we've got the new Half-Life game coming to Scarlet in...
We figured out how to make it work at on PS Move or whatever VR thing is.
Yeah. They may not. Like I said, I don't even think it'll be VR. It'll just be a 2D-ass 2D game, like every other FPS out there. It's much easier to go from VR back to 2D than it is from 2D to VR, so I think...
Sure.
Yeah. Anyways, yep.
Yeah. Life. Speaking of VR, Facebook VR. / Oculus bought developer Beat Games, the makers of Beat Saber.
This one's kind of interesting to me. This is their first real purchase, right? Their first gaming purchase?
I think their first... Yeah.
Studio purchase, maybe? I don't know.
Studio purchase. I believe that's accurate.
Yeah. There may be something else down there. I can't remember. Beat Saber, that started as an Oculus game, if I remember correctly. And then it released on, like, Vive shortly after, and then finally came to, like, PS4. I think that was kind of the order that it released. I'm not 100% sure.
I think that sounds right.
Sounds about right. It's usually how it goes. It goes PC first, and then console after.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting that they're doing that, because obviously they want to push VR, speaking of VR, on the Oculus, and it's like, all right, the Valve Index, Half-Life Alyx, and then the Oculus Quest has Beat Saber 2 or something. I think those are like the mainline games.
It was early access on the Vive, the Rift, the Solstice, Windows Mixed Reality, and Microsoft Windows from May 2018, and was fully released in May 2019, and a PSVR version was released in November of 2018, and then it was launched on the Quest in May 2019.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of all over the place. Yeah, kind of all over the place.
It's a good purchase. That's a good game. I mean, it's going to win VR game this year.
I think Beat Saber is one of the, like if you want to show somebody VR, like, that's the game to do it.
Yep.
Like, there's not a lot of those, and that's definitely one of them.
Plus,
good workout.
Yeah, it totally is. I just hope that they do something good with it, with not just with that license, but with that studio, and really kind of push their capabilities. Like, you look at what Obsidian is doing, right? They're doing a completely different style game next for Xbox after Microsoft purchased them, right? Instead of Outer Worlds, like, they're holding a whole other type of game. And then you got I think Microsoft's doing good with all the companies they purchased, because they're letting them not just make a sequel or another iteration of the game they're making, but they're actually letting them try something completely new. So I'm hopeful that will take place with Beat Saber, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. What else? What else you got there?
The last thing I have on my list, I mentioned it on the last show, the Google Stadia 4K thing. So people are pissed off about it.
This is good.
They have been pissed off about it. The Stadia lead came out and blamed the developers.
that's great. That's totally the way they do it.
He came out and said, I'm paraphrasing here. I don't have the full statement copy and pasted, but he came out and essentially said, well, we give developers the freedom to choose how they want their games to run for the optimal experience. And, basically just put the whole thing on them. And, people are rightly pissed off, because a lot of people apparently bought their Stadia under the promise that all games would be able to run in 4K. And some games not only are not running in 4K, but they're not even running in upscale to 4K. They're running below it. Yeah. So that's just a little update on that, and everybody's unhappy about
this. It sounds like the launch of the Wii U.
Yeah.
I think somebody posted, like...
Or the Ouya.
Oh, God, the Ouya. Maybe... the Wii U launched with a bunch of old games. People in a time when new games are coming, like the, it's a sort of a different time right now with the Switch. But when the Wii U launched, it did so with the looming PS4 and Xbox One showing up, and it launched with an older version it launched with like Mass Effect 3 a month or like 2 weeks after at full price, 2 weeks after the Mass Effect trilogy pack launched for PS3 and Xbox One for like $30. So that kind of gives you the idea of what's going on there.
I've been clowning on Stadia essentially since it's been announced, because like I look at it and like I've made the argument before, like I look at it and from, you know, my position in reality, you know, in terms of internet and location and bandwidth and, you know, where I am in relation to data centers, I've been looking at it and being going, I see the issues here.
Yeah.
But they're just like, they're just making problems for themselves now.
They're bungling this launch big time. This thing needed to bake in the oven. They needed to call this not a launch, not even a soft launch, but just continue it as a beta test. Like, that's really what it should have been. This should be a Google Stadia beta test, until like April, May, or June or something. Like, you shouldn't have launched this in this sad, sad state. Because no one's playing these games. What, like, is guilt supposed to make me really excited to hop on Stadia? I'll play any other fucking game on any of my other consoles. Cool, well, Destiny 2 that nobody else is playing.
I think I read something over the last couple of days that say the Destiny 2 numbers on Stadia are below 10,000.
Yeah, they're like 8,000.
Something like that.
And wait times are like 40 minutes to get into, to find people to play.
Well, I imagine, like, do you remember the problems toward the end of Anthem, where the wait times were horrendous because everybody had narrowed in on what the optimal way to grind was?
Mm-hmm.
So if you were trying to do anything else, you couldn't do it. That's a problem that I'm sure would be in any of those loot shooters.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that most of them have enough people that you're not gonna run into it. Anthem saw it because Anthem had next to nobody playing it. I bet that's exactly what's going to happen in Stadia Destiny 2.
Yeah.
Like, people are going to get to the end. They're going to start running, you know, they're going to do the nightfalls and they're going to do the raids, and that's probably going to be it. And so, like, if you're coming in a month late looking for somebody to run low end strikes, like, nobody.
The big game launch for Stadia was Destiny 2. And when you have 10,000 people total playing it, less than that, those are not good numbers.
Well, they don't even have, like, what's the Stadia exclusive?
Guilt. That's what I said, that, like, that 2D game is called Guilt. That's the exclusive.
Yeah, G-Y-L-T.
Yeah.
Guilt.
Or whatever that. Yeah, it's cool. Like, why didn't you launch with, like, here's Borderlands 4 or something? I mean, Google needed to throw money at people and say, this is what we're doing. I really do think that companies like 2K threw Red Dead and NBA and said, hey, shit, fine, here. It's already on PC. Whatever. Just go ahead. Just take these two games. You know, stop bothering us, kids. I think that's kind of like what companies are doing. They're just throwing out whatever they have sitting there that they've kind of milked already. But I don't know. It's
a bad system.
It's real bad.
You know what? We recorded a couple of days ago, so we're at a point in time where there's not going to be a lot of news.
Yeah, it's Thanksgiving week. Plus, yeah, again, we recorded a couple of days ago. You do any Black Friday? Do you do any Black Friday shopping ever, or do you looking for anything since that's this Friday? No.
Nope.
They have a Google list that I keep, Google Keep list, with games that I eventually want to purchase. Like, shit's on there, like Civ 6 for the Switch, and there's a couple, like Witcher 3 is going to be on sale on the Switch. What I've decided to do, and correct me if I'm dumb for doing this, is to divide up my playtime per console. So some of these, like, big giant RPGs that are available on multiple consoles, I'll probably get them on the Switch because at least I can do other shit while I'm, like, I can watch a show. I can catch up my binging on Netflix or Disney or whatever if I have something bigger on the Switch. And so, like, The Witcher 3, which I already have, I have, like, every Witcher game on every device already. But I can, I never get more than like 10, 12 hours into any of them because I just don't have the time to turn my head away from binging. I need, like, I'm kind of saving these bigger games for the Switch and then kind of the shorter 10 to 15, maybe 20 hour at most games for the PS4 and Xbox One. So, with that said, that's why, like, I'm looking at, like, The Witcher 3 on the Switch, even though I already own it on 10 other consoles. Ni No Kuni, the original, is out on Switch, and I never played that game, so that's one possibility. But, I mean, nothing's really jumping out at me. I did pick up, you're going to laugh, I picked up Kingdom Hearts 3 for, like, $15, but I have until...
you know what, that's probably worth it at $15.
Yeah, I mean, I have to... I was thinking about that. I'm like, okay, shit, it's $15. I paid, let's see, I think it was $11 for the Story So Far edition that had, like, everything on there. And then $15 for this. I'm like, yeah, it's like $20-$30 for the entire Kingdom Hearts collection. That's not a bad deal, actually. Yeah.
I would make the argument that if you're into classic, quote unquote classic games, Kingdom Hearts 1 is probably still worth $30.
It's Kingdom Hearts 1 is still a good game. I never played 2, even though I've owned that for a while. But yeah,
have I ever told my story about Kingdom Hearts 1?
No.
So I had friends. They were a couple that were living together in the capital, and they invited me up. Right around the launch of Kingdom Hearts, I think it was around Christmas time, maybe. Okay. It was some point when I had a stretch of time off school. Like, that's how long ago Kingdom Hearts came out. I was still in school, but they were like, yeah, just come up and we'll play some games, blah, blah, blah. And so I was up there. I got really, while I was up there, and I took some gnarly cold medicine. Oh, like, shit. You know, that old stuff that, like, you like trip balls on. And while I was in the middle of that, one of them came home having bought Kingdom Hearts.
Hmm.
And I remember sitting there and we were all taking turns playing it. I don't remember anything from that game, except at one point I have this memory of fighting a dragon that was also a castle.
I don't remember a single thing from Kingdom Hearts. It was so long ago. That was like, what, 20 years ago?
Apparently
almost?
That Shit. Was a boss. That was maybe in that game, but
was
that's
that
the only memory I have from.
Was that PS2?
PS2, yeah.
Yeah, it was like the earlier PS2, yeah. Shit, I don't remember. Was Kingdom Hearts 2 on PS2 as well, or is that PS3? I don't
know. Kingdom Hearts 2 was on PS2, oh, so I think.
Okay, both games are on PS2.
It came out in 2005.
So yeah,
it was
PS2.
On PlayStation 2.
Okay. Wow, 14 years between 2 and 3. That is kind of a big... And 3 just wasn't... I think...
Well, 14 years between 2 and 3, except there was a game like a game a year between.
Yeah, there
them.
Was. It was like, yeah, exactly. Game Boy Advance. Actually, like the Game Boy Advance game. That was that card-based game. I'm kind of eyeing that. And of course, you have like Resident Evil 2 is $15. Here's a weird thing. So, I have Horizon Zero Dawn. I've played maybe 2 hours of it.
That's an okay game.
It's an okay game. It's on sale at Best Buy on Black Friday for $10. But the one that's on sale is the complete edition with all the DLC and all that shit in there.
So that sends you into the winter region or whatever.
Yeah. And so I kept thinking, I'm like, you know what? If I sell my current Horizon Zero Dawn for like $7-$8 and pick this version up for $10, then I'd... You know, I can get my DLC and I can get everything for like $2 and I don't feel bad. Maybe that's what I can do. And like Spider-Man's in there too. I haven't played enough of Spider-Man.
I think like Spider-Man, you really should play Spider-Man.
I think so, yeah. I mean, I'm off this week and next week when I get back from... I'm going to be out of town until Saturday, but after that, it's just fucking... It's gamer orgy over here. In more ways than one.
I mean, I'm just going to point this out. Spider-Man is the game that I fought to have on our Game of the Year list last year.
Yeah,
and
you
we're
did.
Almost at Game of the Year time
oh
again this year.
I know, right? And I played it, but not nearly enough of it. It's another game that I played, but not nearly enough of. So those two are there. And then I've always been, because I'm such a fan of, I'm such a sad fan of Skylanders. I've always wanted the, and Spyro was in Skylanders. I've always wanted those original Spyro games, and I'm big into those sort of old school platformers. The Crash Bandicoot series is not very good. Sorry. But the Spyro series I kind of like because it was more of that open-ish world type of thing. And so I'm kind of interested in Spyro. I saw for the Switch as well. Everything kind of, those types of games sort of feel real good on the Switch. So, but yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. Not a lot. Not a lot this year. Nothing's really popping out. I did, like I said, I got that Final Fantasy 15 Royal Edition for that same deal, that 10, 15 bucks, whatever it was. So.
My thing about Black Friday, the reason Black Friday's never got its hooks in me is because there's nothing here where I live that
really
would be impact. Like there's no Walmart. There's no Walmart in my village. There's no Target in my village.
Yeah.
Like
yeah. You'd have to go a ways out to get shit. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't own a car. So
we used to, it was a real big thing for me, like 4, 5, 6 years ago. Like I would, my brother-in-law and I, we'd go to Chicago and hang out with them. And we would like Wednesday night, we were always like circling newspapers, getting shit ready. Thursday morning, we're circling papers, getting stuff ready. This is when Black Friday used to actually start at like midnight on that Thursday night. And so we would go out. We never waited in line anywhere, but we'd go like at midnight, and we had like our. It was more for like the fun aspect of it, right? We would go from store to store, and we'd have a list of shit that we were kind of interested in, whether it was like a TV or a laptop or a snow thrower or something. I don't know. Or, like, literally, it'd be like, hey, there's a pair of pliers that's normally $15. It's on sale for $14. Let's fucking go. It was more for, like, just getting out and experiencing it. The last 2-3 years, I haven't really, like, my Black Friday spending has gone from, like, you know, a couple $100 to, like, $50.
Yeah.
It's usually, like, now, it's basically just like, okay, well, we need some new pillows. So instead of buying new pillows in the beginning of October, let's just wait until Black Friday because we'll get like, you know, $2 off. We'll survive.
Yeah.
So that's basically all it's been. It's lost its hooks. But yeah, that's it. That's all the news. That's all the shopping. Yep.
That's everything. That's everything.
JJ just posted said that he had lost power, so his internet's still not even really back yet, so he can't join us. But fucking Zach. Fucking Tom, fucking Sam. I tell you, all three of those dudes, they're going to do their own podcast together.
Me and Tom and Sam were going to do something, I thought. I can't even remember. It's been so long that we haven't done it, I don't even remember what it was.
It's probably a spoiler cast for something.
It was pre the Death Stranding spoiler cast idea. Yes. It was before that, and I can't remember what it was.
I think Sam still owes me a spoiler cast for like Persona 5. the original Persona 5 code that we got.
To buy the Royal and do that.
There you go. All right, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. That's the whole show.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, Americans. Happy Thursday, Canadians.
Thank you. Happy Black Friday. I'm doing a Black Friday sale at my store.
Are you really?
Yeah. Somebody walked in the other day and they were looking at like bongs or whatever, and they were like, "Are you doing a Black Friday sale?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, why not?" That's how much plan I went into it.
There you go. You gotta like draw in marker the words Black Friday and just tape it to your window.
I have a whiteboard.
Oh, even better. Black Friday sale. I have
a whiteboard that sits there, yeah.
You should have like CBD and name it Black Friday and then just have a sale on, you know, call it Black Friday.
funnily enough, CBD is one of the few things that I don't include in my sales.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Okay. Yeah. I get
very good. All right, man. Everybody.
Yeah.
We'll see you. See you all.
See you next week.
See you next week on the Cycle. Where can we find you, Ron?
You can find me at Twitch and Twitter at Scratty Bones.
You can find me at Dolly Demowski. Find us at SideQuesting and everywhere else. That's it. We love you guys.
Yep.
See ya.
Choices kill my head. Day now disappear.